Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, we consider that a sign of high intelligence, and you're going to know what I mean when you listen to Robert Herbold. Robert, actually, he says we can call him Bob. He says his friends call him Bob, and so we're proud to be his friend. Bob was a chief operating officer at Microsoft for 7 years in most of the 90s and all the way through 2001. And during that time, as you know, Microsoft left the ground in terms of their growth. They took off. I think everything kind of collapsed after Bob left. I'm not sure about that, but I think it pretty much fell apart after Bob left. He is the author of the new book, Seduced by Success. It's not too new, but it's been out long enough that he's gotten some real significant outstanding reviews, and it's been doing really well all around the world. And he's here to talk to us about one of my favorite topics, globalization. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
It's good to have you back.
Nice to be here.
The book, you got some good news recently, didn't you?
Yeah, yesterday the News Asia published their once-a-week list of top-selling books, and on the business list, Seduced by Success is now number 3. It's also doing well in America, but to crack that top 10, we're excited.
Well, I'm not surprised. As my audience knows, we don't have chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. And you were we pre-qualify everybody, Bob. Just because you were with Microsoft, if we didn't think your book was going to be good and you had something to say, you know, we'd let you go on to do other things.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim.
Now, and of course, you know, people are listening to the show all over Asia. So the last time you were on, I'm sure that was a single reason why the book just went through the roof there.
I'm sure it is, Jim.
that's our story, and we're sticking to it. Bob, one of the things that I talk to small business owners about all the time is the difference between how they made a living in the 20th century and how they make a living in the 21st century. And what I tell them is 96.75% of all the things that we know we learned in the 20th century, and most of that has become obsolete. And however, whatever you were doing in the 20th century to be successful, probably not only is it probably not going to help you be successful in the 21st century, it's probably holding you back right now. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's true. I'm really struck by on the manufacturing side how things are different today. If you look at Porsche, the automobile company, which almost went out of business in the early 90s, mm-hmm. and now they're a thriving organization, it takes them only 300 people to put together all the SUVs you build. And believe it or not, the Porsche Cayenne sells about almost 30,000 cars a year. Huh. They only have 300 people to assemble those, and the reason why is parts are made all around the world, assembled together, and at the last minute, things are sent to Germany. They're finally bolted together by the 300 people, and boom, there you go. A completely different mentality in terms of how you make a car, and it's just one example of what you're talking about. We would have never contemplated back in the 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s that manufacturing would take on the characteristics that it has today.
Well, in those days, back when you were talking about, Bob, even the 1990s, even the early 90s, in a manufacturing company like that, or for what, it doesn't matter if they were making cars, yeah. cars or pots and pans, the guy who mowed the yard was an employee of the company. never mind the guy who stamped out the metal. And today, not only does the guy who mowed the yard a contractor, the guy who stamps out the fenders is a contractor.
That's exactly right.
But the thing, what a lot of people don't get, and this is something Lou Dobbs doesn't get, and my audience knows I consider Lou Dobbs to be dangerous, if anybody even listens to him anymore. What he doesn't get is, in my opinion, Bob, that kind of decentralization has created the opportunity that we have in the 21st century. That's the reason I think that the global economy is headed for a more robust era than ever before because of that. What do you think?
Well, I totally agree. And I did a study. I'm part of a group called the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, and I headed up the subcommittee dealing with education. And we developed a report that when Bush asked us to study, you know, what's going on in the production of engineers and science talent, the conclusion is what we have to protect in America is our ability to innovate, mm-hmm. and we do need plenty of good scientists and engineers to create that innovation. We're the country that over the years has launched major categories. We invented pharmaceuticals. We invented the automobile business, et cetera.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Bob. Robert J. Herbo, ladies and gentlemen, is the author of Seduced by Success. It's an outstanding book, and he and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us.
People say that I found a way to make you say that you love.
Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is the original flagship website where you can find our newsletter that you can subscribe to. You can find our blog. You can listen to thousands of archives of past interviews. You can download those, too, by the way. You can podcast them now. We'll let you do that. It's MP3. All of it's MP3, so check that out when you get a chance. And the AskJim.biz website is our knowledge base. That's where you can go and ask questions and get answers. And you get them right now, too, by the way. Small Business Answers Now. Bob Herbo, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. Robert J. Herbo is the author of Seduced by Success, former chief operating officer of Microsoft. We're talking about where this global economy is going, and Bob, how the United States, what part is it going to play? In your opinion, are we maintaining our position in the grand evolution of the global economy, or are we gaining ground, or are we losing ground? What do you think we are?
Well, I think that there's a huge risk that we're not getting things done the way we should, quick enough and with crisp enough thinking behind it. If you look at our history, what we need to do is constantly innovate. We're the innovators of the world. We create the entire new industries. But when you look at an issue like fuel self-sufficiency and you say, how are we doing? Well, the last 20 years, literally every State of the Union speech by every president has talked about the intention to become more fuel efficient. Guess what? Today we're setting a record. 70% of our oil comes from foreign sources, and that's a new record, up from 57% just 6 years ago. So we're going in the wrong direction.
Bob, I'd like to interject a point on that, though, because I like to point this out to folks. A lot of times people look at the United States and we think about that's the example you gave, which is accurate, which is right on the money, is what's wrong with America, and especially with what's wrong with American businesses. But the truth is, American businesses have done a great job of maximizing the fuel that we use, because we use less oil per dollar of GDP today than we did in 1990, even though our economy has doubled in size in the last 17 years.
Oh, so I agree.
My point is, had we had some leadership out of Washington to help us to become more energy self-sufficient by not only conserving but also by drilling it for our own and on our own sources, getting oil from our own sources, if we'd had a more concerted and leadership, some more successful leadership out of Washington, I think we could have already been a whole lot more self-sufficient than we are.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. I think there's a lot of innovation to be had relative to fuel substitutes and just how you achieve the energy levels that you need. And the government hasn't played as strong a leadership in the last 15 to 20 years as it has historically, if you look at this country's history. I think that the point is, I think we've become a bit too bureaucratic in terms of getting key decisions made as a government, and we need to take a few lessons from business in terms of how do you keep with the speed with which the world is going these days. And I think our government could use some overhaul in that regard.
Well, the government needs to just get out of the way of the marketplace is what
That's
the government
exactly
needs to
right.
do.
Yeah, the bureaucracy is too thick right now.
Mm-hmm. But
you look
but
at
you know,
the SEC and the guidelines for establishing companies and doing IPOs, there's a reason why most of the IPOs now are done either in London or Hong Kong.
Sarbanes-Oxley was not necessary. It was the worst thing to happen.
Yep.
I completely believe that it was never should never have been. And I wrote this. I wrote about this and talked about this on my show. With the summer that Sarbanes-Oxley happened, Bob, I told my audience, gird your loins, because anything the government does in 90 days is not going to be good for anybody. And that's the case. And everybody who violated the law, everybody who did what they did, all the Enron WorldCom stuff, all those guys are in jail right now based on laws that were in place prior to Sarbanes-Oxley.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
So we didn't need Sarbanes-Oxley to muck up the system. But that's another story. But that's an example, though, Bob, of our inability, of the potential inability to not be competitive.
Yeah, we need to hold our government responsible just the way we hold businesses responsible to produce. And they're not producing right now quick enough, and other countries, frankly, are beating them.
Do you like the free trade agreements?
Oh, definitely. What it unleashes, having, you know, living half-time in Singapore, the buzz in regard to the free trade agreement 3 years ago with Singapore, and now you look at the other parts of Southeast Asia where free trade agreements are being signed, it unleashes an enormous amount of investment and creativity.
And it's good for everybody. You know, as you probably know, my audience knows, I'm a free trader to my core, and I believe that Frederick Bastiat was right when he said, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Yeah, that's right. And it enables parts of the world to do what they do best. You know, we were talking about taking full advantage of outsourcing. Outsourcing gets such a bad rep.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Bob Herbold. That's Robert J. Herbold on the book, H-E-R-B-O-L-D. If you're Googling him or if you're looking around for him, the book is called Seduced by Success. It's now an award-winning book and been recognized around the world as a bestseller. How the Best Companies Survive the 9 Traps of Winning. Ladies and gentlemen, how your success can actually get in the way. And, Bob, before we go any further, give us your website, too, please.
Yeah, it's www.herboldgroup. No dots or dashes, just Herbold Group, HERBOLDGROUP.com.
Herboldgroup.com. Can they find out more about the book there?
Absolutely.
All right, so check that out, folks. You know, Bob, one of the things that I try to tell small business owners is whatever you were doing in the 20th century that you're still doing in the 21st century is probably holding you back. What do you think about that? And do you think that that's a sort of something that the United States has gotten itself into?
Well, I think it's definitely true. And one of the traps we talk about in this book is sticking with yesterday's business model. You know, and if you look at a company like Kodak, they got so fascinated with film, they thought they were in the film business as
right.
opposed to the photography business.
The moment business, huh?
And they got run over, and it's yeah. too bad. But in terms of our government and our ability as a country to evolve, we have some of the same problem. It's very complicated to get work done, and the education system would be a good example. We're just not turning out the students that we should. We should be very disappointed at the results of those tests over the last 20 years that show, yeah. you know, 20% of our 12th graders are proficient.
Why
in,
is that? Why has that happened? Is it political correctness?
It is, and frankly, the teachers' union has a grip on that industry, so that teachers don't even get performance appraisals.
Yeah.
And the union fights hard not to install performance appraisal systems in K through 12 public education in America, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If
Bob,
you look at it, Jim, what it's caused is if you look at your typical middle school student taking a science course, 93% chance that student is going to be taught by an out-of-field teacher. The teacher didn't even minor in science in college. So what's the probability of this history major, who's now teaching, you know, science, exciting a student about science? Very, very low. And so we just haven't applied, you know, the basic core principles of how you should operate an organization as it applies to education, and it's a problem.
One of the things that I like to point out to folks is, in the 21st century, here's something that's different, that is absolutely different about this century than the last century, and that is that it's okay to fall in love with what you do. It's still, in the 21st century, okay to fall in love with what you do, but you better not fall in love with how you do it. What do you think?
Very well said, and that's really what this book is all about, because you're talking about human nature. And once you get into a rhythm of how you do your job, it's shocking how you want to go back to that rhythm. So when you come into work the next day, frankly, you're going to do the same as you did the previous day. And organizations need to constantly be reorganizing, refocusing, and moving new tasks and moving people around into to key jobs to make sure they're getting fresh thinking and evolving.
I wrote an article one time and a chapter in one of my books titled Reinvention or Extinction, The Choice is Yours.
Yeah, that's a very good statement, and that's true. That's it's a frailty of the human spirit. We get in a groove, and we're doing okay, and we think, well, we've got it figured out. Guess what? That's not the way the world works.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the U.S. economy for the next 9 months?
I think it's going to be okay, but not great. I think that things are slowing down a bit. Oil prices will have an impact, and I think that's dampening things a bit. But
20 years from now, are we still going to be dependent upon oil to get ourselves around?
It's shame on us. We are, because I can't think of an area that's more robust for innovation. The fact is, you look at batteries today, you look at the way energy is generated, and you look at solar and the like. There's just tons of opportunities for incredible innovation.
We need a Manhattan Project for energy, don't we?
That's exactly right, and those are the kinds of things we used to do, Jim, and we need to reinstill that kind of spirit
and we
in
could,
America.
And that's the kind of thing we got ourselves behind it, and I think President Bob Herbold would take care of that if we just get him elected. Hey, Bob, thank you for being here today. Good job.
It's great with you, Jim. Take care.
We'll see you next time.
Okay,
Robert
bye-bye.
J. Herbold, ladies and gentlemen, is the name of the book, Seduced by Success. He says we can call him Bob, and we'll get him back again another day. This hour, you can call me Jim. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Remember, never let the excellent, never let the perfect, I should say, be the enemy of the good.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.